ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 18, Canto 10, Chapter 25. Tasman mat sharanam goshtam mannatam mad parigraham gopaye svatma yogena Soham me vrata ahitaha tasman macharanam goshtam mannatam mat parigraham gopaye svatma yogena Soyam me vrata ahitaha. Tasman mat sharanam goshtam. Manatam mat parigraham. Gopaye svatma yogena. Oyam me vrata ahitaha. Soyam me vrata ahitaha. No? Okay. Tasmat. Therefore. Mat sharanam. Having taken shelter of me. Gostam. The cowherd community. Matnatam, who have me as their master. Matparigraham, my own family. Gopaye, I shall protect. Svaatmayogena, by my personal mystic power. Sa I am this may by me vrataha vow ahitaha has been taken. Translation, I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, I am their master. And indeed, they are my own family. After all, I've taken a vow to protect my devotees. Purport. The word mat charanam indicates not only that Lord Krishna was the sole shelter for the Braja Jana, the people of Vrindavan, but also that Lord Krishna had established his home among them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from the Anekartha Varga Dictionary, Sharanam Griha Rakshitraho. Translation of that is, the word Sharanam can represent either home or protector. The residents of Vrindavan adopted Krishna as their beloved child, friend, lover, and life itself, and the Lord reciprocated their feelings. Thus, Sri Krishna lived among these fortunate people, moving in their houses and fields. Naturally, he would protect such intimate devotees from all types of danger. And I'm going to read, there's really extensive commentary on this verse. And we'll start with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because this disturbance has been created by Indra Tasmat, I will protect Vraja Goshtam. Vraja is my home, Mat Sharanam. And I am the master of the house, Mat Nata. In the place where my father, brother, and dear ones live, Mat Parigraham. Not only will I protect these people from this disturbance, but I will protect all people, even at the time of the Mahapralaya. To indicate this, Krishna says, I've accepted the vow. I've accepted this vow. Jiva Goswami, since Indra is pouring rain to destroy my father and others, included parentheses, which is included in the word asmabihi in verse 15, who are non-different from me, I will now take countermeasures for that. And at the same time, I will take away the ignorance of these controllers of planets. This is proper. Therefore, I will immediately protect this village from my natural, extraordinary power, Atma Yogena. Not only will I protect, this protection is eternally accomplished. It is my vow or rule to protect this community. This village is protected by me, Mat Charanam, since I am the master of this village, Mat Natam. It should be protected like my family, even by criminal means. Parigraham. Then he quotes from somewhere, laws of Manu. Manu said that the elder's mother, father, chaste wife, sons, and children should be protected even by criminal means. Of course, that's for Krishna, not for us. The village has taken shelter of me and should be protected by me because I am everything to them. They love only me. Therefore, I will protect them. It is his nature to protect them. I will protect them by my natural power, Atma Yogena. Though this is eternally accomplished, now it will be enacted. The reason is given. I made this promise, Vratam, as the Lord, with eternal human pastimes, I should break the pride of Indra in order to protect the people of Vraja, since Indra has the tendency to oppose the cowherds surrendered to me and is not inclined to surrender. There's more. There's a whole bunch more. Sanatan Goswami. This village is protected by me, Mat Charanam, since I am the master of this village, Mat Natam. It should be protected, like my family, even by criminal means, Parigraham. The village has taken shelter of me. It should be protected by me because I am everything to them. They love only me. Therefore, I will protect them, since they are mine. I will protect them by my special Shakti, Atma Yogena, which is beautiful. So, composed of human pastimes and special powers. Why special powers should be revealed? This is my vow. Those who once surrender are mine. That is my vow. I cannot break it. I've made this strong promise to comfort the cowherds. He speaks with great courage and pride. Now, he's not speaking. He's thinking, but there's about 15 to 20, I didn't count them, additional references on this verse. I'm just going to read two more, but it's an important verse. It's found in Baladev Vidyabhusan's commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam. It's found in Jiva Goswami's multiple writings, Gopal Champu and Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and a whole host of other places. Jiva Goswami's 10th canto commentary, it's there about 10 times. It's the possessiveness that Krishna feels towards Braja, as the residents of Braja feel a possessiveness towards Krishna. Possessiveness is not the material kind of possessiveness. It's the spiritual kind. And so there's three things. One of them is Krishna identifies with Braja and the residents of Braja as his place and his family. They identify him as their dearmost, whatever the relationship is, the rasa is. So it's his family, it's his place. And he feels dependent upon them as they are dependent upon him exclusively. So we'll hear. This more from Vishwanath. Krishna said, quote, I will protect the cowherd community, Goshtam, from this disturbance created by Indra, because Braja is my home. Mat Charanam means Mat Charanam. And I am the master, Mat Nata, of this house. Krishna said, Braja is the place where my father, brother, and dear ones, Mat Parigraham, live. Not only will I protect these people from this disturbance, but I will protect all people, even at the time of Mahapralaya, the annihilation of the universe. To indicate this, Krishna says, I have taken the vow. May Vrata Ahitaha. And here's a reference from Jiva Goswami. One of his books, one of his many books, is an explanation of grammar. Some of you may know Harinamritam Vyakarana. Harinamrita Vyakarana. It's a text that teaches Sanskrit using Krishna's names. All the rules and rules and rules about grammar rules using Krishna's names. So specific to Amrita, which is an explanation of Narayana, he writes, the word Nara, human, means, here the word Nara, human, means a Brajavasi, or a resident of Vrindavan. And the whole community of Brajavasis is called Nara. The Vigraha, or separation of the constituent words, this is grammatical grammar rules. The word Narayana here means Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in a human-like form. Paragraph. This understanding is backed up by the Bhagavatam verse, which we just are studying, 10:25:18, where Krishna himself states that the Brajavasis are his shelter, his protectors, and his family. In this verse, the word goshtam implies the goshtavasis, and goshtavasis means Brajavasis, because the word goshta is a synonym of the word Braja. Krishna says that the Brajavasis are his shelter because he is being controlled by their love. He is unable to even bathe, drink, eat, sleep, or enjoy without them. Thus in the Adi Purana, Krishna tells Arjuna, different one than what we're used to hearing from Adi Purana, quote, there's a Sanskrit, the gopis are my assistants, my gurus, my disciples, my maid servants, my relatives, and my consorts. Oh, son of Pritha, I tell you the truth. What aren't the gopis for me? That's in his grammar text. And then another, whatever it is, 20 plus references. Many of them are making the point that the word jana, not only in this verse, but in other references in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, jana specifically means the Brajavasis. Jana, in other contexts, just means people. But when it's used, so he, Jiva Goswami particularly, elaborately in his special style, makes many, many, many references where he puts this together with that, together with that, together with that, and you put it all together. And when Krishna uses the word jana, it means the Brajavasis. And the Brajavasis are his family. His home. He is the Lord. And we just heard from his grammar text, he's controlled by them. He's controlled by them because of their love. Yeah, so, just a comment on those many, 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 many references, there's scriptural foundation to one of the things that Jiva Goswami is doing in his writings, is he's establishing the scriptural foundation for the mood and the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he does it elaborately. Just a little background on Jiva Goswami's writings. He received his understandings from Rupa Goswami. Jiva Goswami also knew that there are different audiences during his time. There were audiences of scholars. And those to know a little bit about scholarship, it's the scholarship program, you know, tendency to look at something and pick it apart, like criticize it, not positively, but negatively, and say, you know, garbage, and, you know, not necessarily saying, here's something better, just saying garbage. That's what scholars tend to do. Apparently they had such tendency during his time as well. And so he knew that they would try to pick apart everything that he had to say. Therefore, knowing them and knowing their arguments, just a little history, before he went to Vrindavan, he was instructed by Lord Nityananda, because he went to visit the place where Lord Chaitanya conducted his childhood's pastimes, because he had never been there, had never met Lord Chaitanya, other than perhaps once. So he went to Mayapur. Lord Nityananda greeted him and took him on a tour of Mayapur or Navadvip. Navadvip Parikrama is based upon that tour of Lord Nityananda given to Jiva Goswami, showing him the places and explaining the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in those places, and then granted Jiva Goswami residence in Vrindavan, very similar to what Lord Nityananda did with Krishnadas Kaviraj, granted him residence in Vrindavan. So both went. They were contemporaries living in Vrindavan. But before going to Vrindavan, Lord Nityananda instructed Jiva Goswami to go to Benares and take shelter of Madhusudana Vachaspati, who was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya and had a high reputation for understanding all the other non-Vaishnav renderings of the Vedas. There's six, historically, six called Saddarshan, six interpretations that are atheistic interpretations of Vedanta Sutra. So Madhusudana Vachaspati, being a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he knew them and he taught Jiva Goswami what they say in detail. This one says this and that one says that and so forth in detail. And here's the proper reply according to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So he had that background even before he went to Vrindavan. And he wasn't just an ordinary young man. He was an extraordinary young man, so he understood everything that he was taught. And then he went to Vrindavan. And when he went to Vrindavan, he was thoroughly instructed by Rupa Goswami in the deeper and deeper and deepest teachings of Lord Chaitanya in all respects before he began his writing. So when he did his writing, all of that's a little history, when he did his writing was bearing in mind that scholars would look at what he would say and trash it. And therefore he was very thorough, very systematic, not specifically to have them become Krishna Bhaktas, because atheists are not so inclined to become Krishna Bhaktas. But they would not be able to refute, you know, bulletproof presentations again and again, and very thorough, comprehensive. Just take that same point and take a little further. There was a period of time when I was teaching in Vrindavan at the VIHE, and one of the years that I was there, so the whole month of Kartik, and Gopi Puranadana Prabhu was teaching. I was teaching, he was teaching, so I sat in on his class, and it was teaching Tattva Sandarbha before it was published by the BBT. He was preparing it, but he was teaching it. And since he didn't have his published version, and he didn't want to circulate his manuscript either, you know, the yet refined, etc. version, he made reference again and again to, you know, fortunately I can't remember the name, but there was a scholar from the University of Pennsylvania that did his PhD thesis on Tattva Sandarbha. And I forget his name. And in this man's book, so later I bought the book because it wasn't available in Vrindavan, and I came back, and because Gopi Pranadana Prabhu was saying that this man did a very reasonable translation from the Sanskrit of Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha and Baladev Vidyabhusan's commentary on Tattva Sandarbha. But this man objected specifically to Baladev Vidyabhusan and put that in his book too, and he had the integrity to separate, here's Jiva Goswami, here's Baladev, here's me, and blah, 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 Baladev is garbage, because he's misinterpreted Jiva Goswami's writings. So, and then when he finished his PhD thesis, he moved to Sringeri Math and became a Mayavadi sannyasi. So it's possible, and this is one reasonably contemporary case, where somebody with academic credential studied Jiva Goswami's writings, Baladev's commentary on his writings, and became a Mayavadi. He had just had like a bee in his bonnet. He had a fundamental disliking for Krishna and Krishna Bhakti, and he studied it. But he was, you know, he had another orientation. So Jiva Goswami knew that such people would read his writings. So he was careful and diligent to present things in such a way. So this is this verse, this little section that we're reading, there's five verses where it's Krishna's contemplating what to do because Indra did what Indra did. And Indra did what Indra did because Krishna did what Krishna did. So he is, you know, challenging Krishna. He's filled with pride. You know, he lost his Krishna consciousness. got big time covered over. And gosh, if Indra can do that, what about us, huh? So, beware of pride. So these verses are important because they're establishing how Krishna regards pride and those that carry pride and what he will do when such things happen. It's establishing Krishna's affection for Braja, and as Lord Chaitanya taught, the unique position of the love of the resident of Vrindavan and Krishna's affection for the resident of Vrindavan. It's reciprocating with their love for him. It's right in this section. It's Lord Chaitanya's unique position of Vrindavan, the love of the resident of Vrindavan for him, and even in particular the residents of the gopis. Now that's Lord Chaitanya's teaching, so what's the scriptural basis for that? Of course, there's many, many, but this section is quoted so many times by Jiva Goswami in particular. I didn't count. I just breezed through 15 to 20 different references just on this verse that we recited this morning, along with a whole other collection of verses referencing to say, explain again and again the unique position of the residents. Jana means Brajabasis. It's like a refrain over and over. In the 10th canto, people, of course, in context, refers to the Brajabasis and how Krishna has affection for them. And then there's no specific mention in this verse of the Mahapralaya. Mahapralaya means cosmic annihilation. Pralaya means annihilation or devastation. At the end of the day of Brahma, there's a pralaya, partial. And at the end of the life of Brahma, there's total devastation, Mahapralaya. So Krishna gives protection. Now, how does he give protection? Well, living entities that are undeserving or whatever, still inclined to fruitive activities, he withdraws them and places them within the body of Mahavishnu. I mean, all those things are going on by his supervision, Maya Dyakshena. Even for all living entities, what to speak of how he holds himself in regards to the resident of Braja. So he's friendly to all and he's partial to the Brajabasis. He's partial in the sense that they see him as everything and so he reciprocates with them in that sense. They are his family, they are his home, they are his community. But this is transcendental because the material world is a reflection of the transcendental. And then people will consider, this is my home, this is my family, and these are my people. This is a perverted reflection of that. And we're prone to this and forgetful of that. So hearing these transcendental messages, especially very wonderfully described by our acharyas, it helps us to restore our proper regard for Krishna. There's potency within these verses that help us achieve that. Can you turn the volume up a little bit on this microphone? Just a little. Thank you. Not so good. Okay, there was one other thing I wanted to mention, and I forgot what that one other thing is. Okay, totally distracted. Any discussion? Comments? Krunanidhi, you have something? Do we have another microphone for Krunanidhi? You don't have a battery? You can't speak loud. I mean, I'll repeat your question so that people can hear online. Yeah.
And here is one question is coming. This protection. Protection from Krishna.
Protection from Krishna.
Yeah. Again, Krishna Prabhupada is putting one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.148.
Because Krishna is giving protection.
So, he also stated that on the last portion of his lecture, you mentioned that he protects from here, that is only fruit that workers, they go into Vaya Mahavishnu.
Well, that's not the only way he protects the non-devotee, but that's anybody at the time of Mahapralaya, he gives that protection. You're looking for a precaution to what? To not enter into the body of Mahavishnu at the time of cosmic annihilation? For the demons? For this disease that's now spreading? Of course we take precaution. Of course we take precaution. Of course we take precaution. That's part of our service to Krishna, isn't it? You're quite a philosopher, and I can't understand everything you're saying. Yesterday's class. Bhakti has the potency to dissolve false ego.
So forth, are not real to the soul yet.
When we're engaged in our prescribed duties according to psychophysical nature and we experience different emotions, all that is different than the soul. Of course. We connect everything in relation to Krishna. Why not? Is there a reason to not? No, so there may be one of the ways to connect is recognize that's his potency. Detachment through knowledge. That's his potency. It's not me. It's not, etc. The body and the mind are not me. It's Krishna's property and should be directed under, you know, proper way to be of service to Krishna. And, you know, some things we just, like say food, some things we just leave it to the side. Because it's not offerable to Krishna. It's not something that's, so. But it's from Krishna, but it's for other people. For other living entities that have different modes of nature. And so, we don't artificially reject and we don't artificially identify with the body and the mind. We strive to connect everything to Krishna as is appropriate. Some things are not appropriate, so we leave them to the side. Fear dealing with, you know, the pandemic that's going on. Yeah. Is there a difference in Krishna's reciprocation between? Well, it's love. They're feeling protected and other people aren't feeling protected. Or they may feel they're being protected by their protective measures. False ego. But the Rajvasis don't have false ego. They're feeling protected by Krishna. And you know, the danger is real. And they're feeling protection. So they're not, you know, dancing around. They're feeling some negative emotion about the situation and they're taking full shelter of Krishna. They know the situation came about because Krishna said, don't make the sacrifice to Indra. He did it on purpose to perform a pastime and to curb the pride of Indra, and knowing what Indra would do. And sure enough, Indra did what he knew Indra would do. And he wanted an opportunity to reciprocate with his devotees in the way that he decided. And they had some negative emotions about the circumstance and they took shelter of Krishna. That's braja, what to speak of, you know, coronavirus. Anything else? Krishna, Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Online question, okay. We receive transcendental knowledge by hearing and serving the teacher, serving scriptures. What's required from our side in order to realize the knowledge as opposed to? Other than what?
Theory.
Well, purification. Jnana Vijnana. And the Vijnana is part of, to go from Jnana, theoretical, or theory, to realize its submission and surrender and application of those teachings, and then the mercy of Krishna coming. Just our effort and the mercy of Krishna makes realization. Krishna can reveal everything. It's Krishna's reciprocation that brings revelation. One more question? Even after experience of Krishna's love, how is it possible after experiencing Krishna's love and protection to maintain material attraction? That's the question. According to what Dhruva Maharaj says in his prayers, he uses the word ungrateful. Only a person who's ungrateful, or Prahlad is only one who's a fool. It's, you know, not so, not in opposition to one another, but specifically, one who's not grateful. We're getting like a child, receiving, and not feeling gratitude, and then just, you're covered. Realization doesn't come. It's, you know, the sense of protection, well-being, contentment, safety, all of that doesn't happen. It's, I want. It's all about me. That's the lesson. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.